Welcome back to another episode of A Creative Purpose with Naomi. Today, my guest is Lauren, and she is a social media strategist for people that don't like social media, which she proclaims to be, and I think I am with her on that. Social media is such a kind of love-hate relationship, I think, for a lot of people. As creatives, we just like to create our, thing, but getting it out into the public can be hard sometimes. So she makes it super simple, gives us some helpful tips to stay after it and what that looks like to make it work for us. So grab your pen and paper and listen in. Enjoy. So welcome back, everybody. We have Lauren with us, and she is just going to kind of share her journey and everything that she's working on. And so I'm excited to have her on the podcast as we are all navigating different things in our life on our creative journey. And so she's just going to share a little bit about hers. And so, Lauren, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I'm really excited to be here today to be speaking with creatives because I, as you said, I'm a multi-hyphenate. I've got lots of things going on. I think if we start my creative journey, it was when I decided as like a two-year-old that I needed to be Annie, right? So like I was sitting in the front row and singing the songs, and I just knew I wanted to be part of being up there on a stage. And I started my professional acting career when I was 18. So that's literally decades ago. So I've been doing that for a while. And about 8 years ago, although I was just in my computer today and I found like an image of my company, which is a little shameless plug, from 2010. So maybe I even started it 12 years ago. I don't know. But I started a company because I was just tired of waiting tables. I felt brain dead and I needed something else. And so I started Little Shameless Plug, which is a company to help creative entrepreneurs bring their brand online. I help people with their social media and newsletters and SEO for their websites and all sorts of things. And through that, I've launched a series of courses for people who don't like social media, but know they need it for their business. And that again, it encompasses a lot of us creatives. And those are called Get Social Happy.
That's awesome.
And that's kind of me. I just moved to Portland, Oregon. I am down to one fur baby, unfortunately, but my husband and I live here with our dog. And yeah, we're just exploring the great Pacific Northwest here in America.
That's awesome. That's so good. And it sounds like, because as an ambivert, but more introverted, right? I don't like to, I feel like I have something to say, but then putting it out there in the world, it's like a little bit daunting because for many reasons, get stuck in my head, overthink it. Is what I'm saying different? Is, right, wanting to be liked. So you have that avenue as well. So all these things. So like with the shameless plug, what kind of like even sparked that name? And I love that it's been percolating like over the years, as many creative things do. It takes time and energy to continue to bring them to life. But can you tell me a little bit about like where that came from?
Yeah, there's several stories within that. So in 2010, when I lost my last waitressing job, I literally went home and I threw my shoes, my waiting shoes, in the trash. I was like, I will never do that again. I just can't. And so I found a local through the county, a course that was like, oh, we'll help you start your own business if you're a woman and that's something you want to do. So I went to this course and I had this idea. I knew I was good with Twitter. I knew I had a connection, to social media, even though I personally don't like social media at all. And we can go into that story someday if you want. But I just knew that I knew how to do it. And I understood creatives. Like, it feels uncomfortable to get out there, but you got to do it, right? We don't have a whole marketing team behind us. And for some reason, we were born with this deep need to share our voice. And social media is an amazing way to share your voice with the world. So I was like, I need to help people connect because we're not as creatives connecting in that way. But I'm in this class and I stood up because someone was saying something about needing a website. And I was like, oh, well, a little shameless plug, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, put my name out there because this is what I'm gonna be doing and I'm gonna be helping people. And someone turned around and said, that's such a smart name. And I said, what name? And they said, little shameless plug. And I was like, oh, that's not the name of my business. And they said, well, it should be. And so Little Shameless Plug was born. But it's really over the years, I've more and more realized that I'm here to help the people who feel uncomfortable on social media, because those of us who are creative, I think we're more sensitive. You know, I actually consider myself an introvert as well. I don't recharge being around people. I recharge, you know, being in nature and reading books and being quiet. So those of us who are creative and introverts, we do have a very hard time being on social media. And I think it's because we're actually more sensitive to the harm it's doing to us, because it is harmful. And so you need to have practices in place around your social media practice so that you can get your voice out into the world, but also still honor yourself and take care of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I think that tension is, right? Like, what does that look like? Because we are hearing like followers are great, but it's more about building community online.
Yes.
You know, but then like me working with clients, they're still after the numbers. And I was like, no, it's about the impact, right? Yes. And like keeping the first things first and not, because you could have the followers and nobody's purchasing anything or nobody's, you know, and that's kind of where.
Yeah.
It is right now, you know, it's still this influence, the status, but how do we as creatives stay focused on what we're doing? Like, what are some of your hit, you know, works?
Yeah, well, I'm going to use an example of one of my clients. His name's Bob. And Bob actually has a store, you know, he sells olive oils and vinegars and like pantry items and stuff. Right. So he's got a physical store with items. And at the beginning of the pandemic, Bob and I had a discussion where he said, I just hope I don't have to lay anyone off. Like, he just wanted to make sure that his three employees could stay in the business. That was his goal. And he doesn't have a huge social media following. You know, Bob is in his, well, I won't out him, but he's not a spring chicken. Okay. Uh-huh. And he has a very low, social media numbers. Like, we don't have a ton of followers on his account. I think he had the beginning of the pandemic around 500 followers on Facebook. This was before Facebook groups were like a thing. He doesn't have Instagram. He had a newsletter, which at the time I think had 800 people on it. And Pinterest. He had a Pinterest account. And not only did he keep everyone employed throughout the pandemic, but he literally doubled his business in a year. And it's because we had created such a strong network through those 500 people on Facebook. And when he reached out and said, hey, we have to close our doors, but you can order and here's all the different ways, those 500 people shared with their friends and shared with their friends and shared with their friends. And now, you know, like, he's hired multiple people and he's still in business. And so I use that because you don't need 20,000 followers to have your business, right? Mm-hmm. You just need people who are a part of your community. And one of the first things I do with my clients when we sit down is we identify who you want to be in conversation with. Because if you can create a space online for the community that you want to have, and you can have a space that they come to where they like to, you know, connect with you about your thoughts on a matter, if you're a life coach, or, you know, one of my clients does these hilarious mansplaining Monday things and they get shared a bunch, you know, whatever it's going to be that fills that community and gives them a space that's a touchstone for them, you're then going to be able to transfer that into sales because they're going to feel and like and know you. So anyway, that's a very quick version of it. But yeah, there are vanity metrics. Followers are vanity metrics. They don't mean a single gosh darn thing. And the changes in the algorithms again and again and again, which I know people's eyes glaze over when I say that, but they're actually in favor of us because what they're doing is they're realizing followers don't mean anything. And everyone's goal is to keep people on the platform and keep people engaged. So if you're someone who has 100 followers, but 30 to 50 likes on every post, you have a huge engagement. You know, that's, if you think of that as people, like in my office, if I were to try to put 30 people in my office, I couldn't do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you try and think of them as physical people and real people as you're engaging, that helps you go, oh yeah, I don't need 20,000 people because I can't even support that in my business.
Right. And that's what I was thinking about the other day. I was like, we want all these things, but are we able to manage it? Like if we really look ahead at the life we want to live, at why we started what we're starting, do we really want that? Especially as introverts, like I'm like, I don't want to be managing all these people and stuff like that. I do want intimacy with the people that I'm in community with so that I can serve them better, so I can fully show up and not be spread thin, because like I've gone through burnout before, right? I don't ever want to go back there again. And so as creatives, right? Like, so that could be an artist, that could be like a coach for creatives, that could be
a writer. Bob with his olive oil store, you know,
like exactly, right? They just have an idea that they brought to life, but then we're having to be content creators, right? Mm-hmm. To be showing up online and this online space. Mm-hmm. How do we manage that within our time? Like, I don't know, because it's not like the core of what we want to be doing, I guess, you know? So that's 100% attention.
That's why people have jobs, because this little side thing has now become literally a full-time job for people. You know, I employ 6 people. I have 6 people on my team and we have 9 one-on-one clients. That's 7 people working 20 to 40 hours a week to produce content, you know, like a solopreneur, you're just not going to do it. You're not going to do the level of content that they quote unquote say you should do. And I have a freebie training course that I'd love to share with your people.
Awesome.
And it focuses on the thing that we can control, which is our engagement. So when I meet with someone, and especially when I'm working with people and teaching people, you want to focus on having a once a month, a once a week kind of post. If you can create consistency for yourself in whatever way that looks like for you, if you've got an hour a month, be like, okay, I'm going to do 2 posts a month and that's it. You know, like don't try and be putting out content every single day because you actually don't need to. But what you do need to do is set aside 5 to 20 minutes and do engagement on your account. And that means looking at other people, seeing what other people are doing, commenting on other people's stuff, liking other people's stuff, resharing their content. There's so many ways you can build community that don't have to do with you actually having to create and churn out the work. So I call it the daily fit, because in my mind, it's like working out, but that's Facebook, Instagram, nice. Twitter. Because it is a habit that you're creating to build engagement, you know, and we've all had the experience of bots posting on our stuff and, you know, something that you've created and put a lot of work into and you put it out in the world and maybe it's a carousel on Instagram. And then, you know, you've got 3 bots saying like, ooh, love it. Post to our account too. It's so disappointing. So when you have a real person comment on your real post that you've never heard of before, it like lights you up inside. And that's what I think we need to remember, is that these are other real people out there. And so if you focus on the engagement and if you focus on making those connections, your follower count will build. It does. Like if you look at my own social media is the worst, like literally the worst. I have social media accounts for myself only to show people how bad it can be and still be successful. You know, so if you look at my own personal stuff, I don't post very often. I don't, but when I launch or when I need a new client or whatever, like my client roster is full. My, you know, connections are full. I have to turn clients away because I don't have many followers, but I have good engagement and connection with my followers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the key.
That's good. Because I want to step back a little bit. Like, so you said, you know, you're working in a restaurant and then you wanted to start something. Like, How has that process been for you? Like in this transition phase, right? We're like told, I don't know, this is a story I've heard or continue to see. Like you just do this and then you do this and then you see the end result really quickly, right? But I'm finding, and the more people I talk to, it is a full transition from that initial idea, that initial yearning to start something new, and then to actually bring that to life and to kind of show up consistently, right?
Yeah.
To see it come to fruition. What was that transition like for you, and what have you learned along the way?
Hard, 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 hard. Many, many years of not really making money, not feeling like I knew what I was doing, you know, just kind of faking it till you make it, as you hear a lot as an actor, you know, you're just gonna like move through it and get through it. But like I said, I was shocked to find an early template, and it is the ugliest. I should actually post this to everybody because like it is the ugliest Photoshop image with like me trying to write little shameless plug in this creative way with a plug. Like it's so ugly. And that was in 2010. So this, if you're listening to it in the future, we are now in 2022. That was 12 years ago, you know, and I didn't, like, to me, when I look at my quote unquote start of business, I'm looking at, I say that I started in like 2012, I guess, 2011. I don't know. But in my head, I'm like, I've been in business for 8 years because that's the money, like when money actually started coming in. So I had like a good couple of years before I actually even started making money, working on this idea, figuring out what it was. In 2010, when I was fired from my waitressing job, you know, I was on unemployment at that point and I was broke. And it was really hard to have the confidence in myself that there was a better way. There was a way that I could use my talents to help people and still be creative, you know, and not end up in another serving job and not end up doing something that I didn't feel was ethical or didn't feel was helping people. Cause that was the real pain point for me in waiting, is that like, yeah, I was like making people happy at their tables, but oh my God, shoot me in the brain. So boring, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but it took a while. It took several years. And then there was kind of a point, which I think was probably when I say I started my business, which was about 8 years ago, where I had a couple clients, I had some income. I was still dog sitting and, you know, babysitting on the side, but I had enough that I didn't have to worry about finding a job anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I had this thing. And then it was probably another 5 years before I was able to hire someone. So there's zero overnight success in this. And I laugh when people look at me and say like, wow, your business is great. Cause I still feel like I'm pulling loose strings and, you know, there's so much more I want to do, because I think as creatives, we always look at potential, or at least I do. I see potential in everything I do. So I always see that we're falling short, but that's business. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Does that kind of help?
Yeah, it does. It shows the realistic journey of life, right? Because I think back to like even my day job, right? I come from education and I think back to like my first years of teaching, I didn't have it all together, right? Like it took years of having other teachers mentor me, trial and error. And so I find it interesting that I thought moving into this new arena of like entrepreneurship or small business ownership, that it would be different, right? And I'm like, it's no different, you know? But I think the marketing out there isn't helping us, right? Because it's like, do this for get rich quick, or
the 30-day course to change your life. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, no, you'll learn something in that 30 days. You'll have grown in that 30 days, but it's not going to be all solved on autopilot, clients coming in, you know, because we forget that trial and error, we forget that learning curve. But as we're going through that, what kept you going, right? Because that's a it's a continuous journey, but what keeps mm-hmm. you going when things aren't going maybe as you had hoped or envisioned, you know, or as quickly as you wanted?
That's such a hard question. Part of what keeps me going is my family, you know, being mm-hmm. able to support and needing to support my family, you know, that's yeah. something. So some of it is just the really boring, mundane stuff. Like our dog had cancer for the last year and, you know, just needing to figure out, okay, I got to make some more money so that I can afford this protocol so we can have him for a little bit longer. So that's mm-hmm. the unfun part. The desire to help people, the desire mm-hmm. to stretch myself, because I don't think there's anything harder than running your own business. Honestly, mm-hmm. there's no bigger challenge you will face in life. I don't have children, but I feel like there's no bigger challenge, especially when you get to the point where other people rely and depend on you. You know, once mm-hmm. you start bringing people on your team, like, it's a yeah. whole nother challenge. And you just stretch and change in ways. Like being a good boss is like a whole thing. There's a whole learning curve and, you know, depth of information that I'm just learning about and trying to do my best in. So yeah, I think just the desire for change, the desire to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I definitely love the flexibility of being, you know, an entrepreneur owning your own business, you know, because like today I had a couple meetings in the morning and then I went for a long walk with my husband and my dog, you know? Yeah. So like, that's a good day. That's a nice, and then I worked yeah. again. So I don't want everybody to think I only worked 2 hours, but you know, yeah. like.
Yeah. yeah. Flexibility is something that I think creatives, we need, right? Like mm-hmm. we don't only work when the creative inspiration hits, but it is nice to have that flexibility that we can ebb and flow and we're not stuck to a clock as far yeah. as somebody else's clock. And so, yeah, there are perks to that. And I love your answer. Like it is a variety of things, right? Like I really rely on purpose, but sometimes purpose doesn't always get us out of bed in the morning, right? We know we have a purpose, but then what else is driving us forward? And having that growth mindset, wanting something new, something different, the real things of life, like bills and the life we want to live, all kind of play into it. And so
it's also interesting that I think my entrepreneurial journey has informed my journey as an actress, because the stress of an acting career and the constant rejection and everything, I used to feel like I was failing in the fact, I mean, you know, that I wasn't further along in my career by whatever point. And I've had some wonderful successes as an actor, you know, I've really mm-hmm. enjoyed that, but being an entrepreneur has helped me understand that my acting career is never going away, that there is a consistency to my practice. There is a consistency to the habits I've built around it. And I always have it. You know, it's not like someone's going to tell me you can't ever be an actor again. You know, like that is part of who I am. And that's just, you know, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm an actor and these are the things I do. And it it doesn't matter if I'm not in a film right now or haven't been since, you know, 2013, but you know, like I still am an actor. And so seeing that slow growth of my career has also helped me understand that this other thing, this creative pursuit that I do doesn't have an end date or an expiration, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I love that because that's what I've been fighting, you know, like I am a teacher and I am a coach, right? Like I can be both where I feel like, no, pick a lane, which one are you? But as creatives, we are multiple things, like everybody is. And so letting go of that idea, like if I'm not doing this full time, right, then I can't be taken seriously, you know? But that's such a mindset that I've had to get over because it's not true. Like, I mean, even when I was in my teaching career fully, I would always have summer jobs. I would always have other gigs, you know, like personal training and stuff like that. So it's like, why did I think that would be different in this new arena? And so I want to encourage anybody that's still like, that has those same thoughts, that, like you said, we can be both, even if we're not fully into it now, or it's not what we expect it to look like, I guess.
Yeah. And not only can we, you just are. Yeah. If you are a creative, like, I can't deny, you know, my sense of the theatrical and flair. Yeah. Like, that's just literally part of who I am. Yeah. So yeah. And it's part of my history, and it's part of, you know, whatever. So yeah. Definitely just own it about yourself. And it's a struggle. It's not like I'm like every day, like, oh, I'm so delighted I'm an actress today. Like, I have, you know, I'm trying to learn a monologue from a Shakespeare play right now. And this has been sitting on my desk for a week, and I haven't gotten past that point. So
yeah,
it's just, you know, it's part of it, but
yeah. Challenges all the time. That's good. Yeah. So, and that's what I find interesting, because in some of my circles now, I am meeting a lot more actors and stuff like that. And that's never been part of my thing. And I'm a little bit shy in front of the camera and all that stuff. And so, like, I sit back, I'm like, oh, I wish I had that confidence to, you know, speak my voice or share my voice and all that stuff. So, like, is that part of what you do with your clients? You know, because like reels are becoming more popular and all that stuff. So, like, how does that look for people that aren't so comfortable in front of the camera, or how can we show up better to get our voice out there?
So number one, unless you're a narcissist, nobody is comfortable in front of the camera.
Okay. Like,
there are those of us who have more practice and who understand what it looks like. And if I do this, and like, if I go like that, that's going to convey something, but literally nobody likes their voice. Nobody likes looking at themselves. And I've known some actor narcissists in my life who just sit there and watch themselves and are so delighted, right? Like, that's true, but nobody likes it. So what it does take is practice. And when I'm working with my clients, the number one thing I ask them to do is to really connect with who you're trying to reach. Because honestly, nobody cares about you. Nobody cares that, you know, I haven't washed my hair, and so my hair is in braids, and I feel uncomfortable about that. And, you know, there's all this stuff and baggage that I'm bringing to it. They don't care. What they need to hear is, you have trouble getting online. I do too. And here's three things you can do to fix that. They're just listening to the message. They're listening to how I can help them today. And so if you can connect to your audience and what you need to do to help them, it helps you put your own baggage aside. And sometimes I'll even coach people, like, literally take a post-it note and put it right next to, you know, your phone or your computer or wherever you're recording it with the person you're helping. And it's even better to name them, you know? So like, I just went through my own process for myself, and I named the two women that I'm looking to help. I'm looking to help Jasmine and Emma. And so now when I can go live, I can literally think of Jasmine and Emma, who I've created for myself in my mind, and speak to them. And it takes all of the pressure off of me and whatever's happening. So connecting, and I'm sure you work with a lot of people. Like, sure, I help people do social media, which isn't a life-ending thing, but a lot of my clients are doing beautiful, important work in the world, and they have to really connect with their purpose, because if people aren't hearing that message, the world needs us right now. The world needs creatives. They need empaths. They need those of us who see a better way and are willing to take us there. So connect with who you want to help.
Yeah. That's awesome advice. And sometimes that's us, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's our name on that sticky note, because all we're doing is sharing what we need to hear, right? That continuous message. And if we show up for ourselves, we show up for other people walking that same journey or a similar journey. And like you said, like, the purpose drives everything, right? And especially for the long haul, right? If we want to stick it out, we need to, and it might change, right, over time, but, or it might look different, I guess, because Like, I see purpose as like who I am created to be, right? What are the skills that I have, the experience I have, my interest, all those things kind of tie into that. And so how can we bring that to the world in a way that it's full of ease and we're not like trying to be somebody else. We're not trying to follow, like, I get trends are awesome and stuff, but sometimes they just don't fit us, you know? So if we're trying to do this because of that, then we're not staying authentic to ourselves. And then, and then what? Like, we're off course again, you know? So it's like, these are kind of suggestions, right? But then we have to go within and be like, is this fitting for me? Is this authentic to me? Does this feel good? You know, within reason, right? We want to push ourselves, but like, always coming back to, what our purpose is, who are we trying to serve, and what does that look like? Even if it looks a little bit different from the trends, what Instagram is telling us to do, right? Because that's where I'm at. I'm like, you can't tell me what to do. I have a little bit of that rebellion in me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I want to do this my way, right? Like, as creatives, we're like, no, like, don't put me in a box.
Yeah. And that's the beauty. So when I started thinking of teaching people with my social happy stuff, I was like, okay, I know that you don't have to do all the things, all the shoulds, right? Oh, well, you have to post a reel a day and you've got to, you know, we're talking about Instagram, like if you post a reel every day and you have your stories going every single day and you post 5 posts a week in your main feed, and they're going to be carousels and they're going to be videos. And you're like, okay, nobody can do that. Well, some people can, but again, they probably have an entire team working for them.
Yeah.
So if you understand the rules of the game, I look at every single social media feed as a game, and there are rules to games, right? And if you can understand the rules, you can then see, it's like chutes and ladders back in the day when we were kids, right? So you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. You can just go every step of the way. But if you understand how the game works, there's a ladder that goes up there, right? Then maybe there's a shoot down here because you didn't understand. So you can create your own blueprint for social media if you understand the rules of the game. If you have the education behind, you can realize, oh, they're saying I have to do a reel today because reels have the most reach. And if you want to have more clients coming in, you need more reach. Well, I do want more clients, but actually it's really important to me to build community. So I'm going to do 2 reels a month. And then I'm going to make sure I have a post every week as I'm nurturing my community, you know, and that's your choice. As a rebellious creative, you get to put that together in whatever way works for you in your business. And that's the important thing. That's the key to it all.
Yeah. I love that. And that's, I think, an important piece to remember too, when you're starting new, find people. Like, you need to have teachers, mentors, other people that have gone before that are specialized in this, because especially if we're talking to like small business owners, there are so many new areas that you think you have to master, right? It's like a lot of moving pieces and stuff, but it's, I don't know. I guess it depends on what speed you want to go. Right. And I just did a post on actually investments, you know, not just time, energy, but also remembering that there is a money investment that needs to go into your learning. And I know for the longest time, I wanted all the free stuff, which was good to get started. But at some time, I needed to invest in a program, in a coach, in somebody that specializes in that next area of growth that I wanted to learn about. Right. Mm-hmm. And like you said, with social media, there are so many moving pieces. And I think it's a great investment, right? Because then it frees you up to create what you're creating. And then you're not kind of stretched thin trying to get it out there in the world. So
exactly.
I think that's perfect.
And I think maybe because I'm an actor, like, actors are always in class. We're never not learning. Like, if you're an actor and you're not in class, as I'm not right now because we're just ending pandemic, but you literally feel like you're like, that's not how we keep our instrument tuned. That's not how we keep getting better and better. Right. So I think because I'm an actor, when I started a business, it made sense to invest in courses. Mm-hmm. And like you, like I definitely had some freebies along the way and I would like buy a little thing here, buy a little thing there. And it wasn't like, actually Katie Chen Mazzara is the one who helped me see that the amount of money that I'm investing, it's not actually, so yes, I'm paying that money out, right? Like it's going out. And sometimes, especially the last few years, I've made some big investments. You know, I've hired full-time employees. Like that's a huge investment. But it's actually also my view of myself and like how much I trust myself to grow. Mm-hmm. So especially sometimes like I made a big purchase, which felt really scary. But because I made that big purchase, I like invested in myself and in my own strength to be like, this is a scary thing. I'm now putting out a lot more money a month in my business, but I also know I'm going to get it back because I know what I'm going to learn from this very like VIP experience that I'm doing.
Yep.
So it's kind of a bet on yourself, even though the money's leaving your bank account, like it's a bet on yourself. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've seen that too. It makes you step up in a different way to, mm-hmm. And it's trusting yourself that you have what it takes, even though you have moments where you're like, no, I don't even want to, because it's a heavy lift what you're learning in these programs or, you know, in your self-learning and who you are, who you're becoming and all that stuff. And so it's an interesting tension to continue to live in, I think, but it's a fun one. Yeah. And so trying to keep it fun and interesting along the way is,
yeah.
And not getting so serious, I guess.
Yeah. I was going to say the joy of knowing that you reach a different level and that this other entrepreneur, you're actually supporting them as they're supporting you. And like, you just keep moving up in these different ways. Like that's cool. You know, I want to help other woman-owned businesses. That's, I know the struggle. The struggle is real. And to put my money there feels really good.
So. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, is there anything else that you like have on your heart to share with people? Just like as you've learned on your journey or helpful tips that you can share with people that might be starting theirs or in that year three, year four, where you're like, come on now. Why am I not seeing what I thought I would be seeing after 2 years?
Yeah. I mean, with permission, I'd love to share a little bit more about my video series that to your people. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Daily Fit, which I mentioned before, it's 5 video series. It teaches you how to go through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and build that engagement. And the reason I put this tool together, made my husband video it. It's very cool. You guys are going to like it. But the reason I put it together is because I believe your voice needs to be out there. As creatives, like we all, especially in the last couple of years, have seen how much our planet is hurting. You know, right now in the news, there's some really awful things. And throughout the world, we are not looking for creative solutions. We are relying on old solutions. And so if you are someone who believes you're born with a purpose, you absolutely are. And the world is crying out for your voice. So please get your voice out there and however you need to make it happen. And know that, yeah, it's hard and the path is not straight, especially in year three, year four, like, oh, wow, that's a hard time. But if you just keep consistent, you will get what you want. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Every single time. I see it all the time with my clients. I see it all the time in how we're doing outreach for people. It's not about one and done. It's about believing that you have something worthwhile to give and consistently going after that. So
nice. I love that. Okay. And then I can share that link in the show notes.
Yeah,
or do you
absolutely
want to kind of say it now where they can find it?
Yeah. Too? Well, yeah, it's at getsocialhappy.com/dailyfit, I believe. But yeah, I'll absolutely send you the link for the show notes.
Okay.
And like I said, the videos, there's 5 of them and they're short, you know, they're between 6 and 7 minutes and you can just watch it and learn from that how to do Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Twitter is my favorite, but nobody else likes it. So I'm actually going to update for LinkedIn because people were like, well, that's nice, Lauren. They'll send me one tweet and I never see them again. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, important to know too, as you're just starting, pick the one you like. I mean, Instagram is for me because it doesn't have a lot of the extra fluff that Facebook has to keep me focused. But but then to continue to build on each other as you grow and have more time, energy.
Absolutely. Don't try and do it all. That is a recipe for disaster. And I always say with the people that I'm working with, like consistency, consistency, consistency. Number one, you want to think, where are my clients? You know, where are my talents naturally fitting for the social media? And those line up, you know, you'll be like, oh, a lot of my clients are on Facebook. Maybe I should be on Facebook, but then you don't also have to be on Instagram and also be on Twitter and also be on LinkedIn. Like, pick one thing. Do it consistently, get really good at it, then add a second thing, you know, and this takes a long time. So just, I know we're trying to wrap up, but there's a technical thing I want to bring up here, which is that when I'm working with clients, I tell people it's going to take us 6 months to start seeing the results you want. And it's going to take us 3 months to figure out exactly what's working on your accounts. Yep. So if you start Instagram and with one of these things, that's like, oh, do a post a day for 100 days and then you're going to be great at it and you're just going to be fine. You're going to burn out, you know, you might do your 100 days and then you're going to stop because you felt really overwhelmed and things are happening or aren't happening the way you thought. Keep going. Find a rhythm that works for you. And as I said, if that's a once a month post, it's a once a month post. And then once you're good at that, you're going to build up to twice a month post, and then you're going to get to a once a week thing. But don't expect miracles out of yourself from the gate. Mm-hmm. Like, these things take time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found, like, when I'm in my flow, I just have to batch create, right? I have to be in that mindset. And I just sit there, create all my stuff on Canva, I use Planoly to schedule stuff out because when I'm in it, I'm in it. And some days I don't even want to touch it. And that's good because I can still show up consistently online without struggling or just making stuff up. So I think there's always ways to figure out, you know, as you grow and stuff.
And I feel like people think batch creation is some magical thing that there's a key to that people are like, I'm going to teach you how to batch create. And it's a secret. Yeah. The only secret is you're in a creative space in a zone and you're creating several pieces of content at once. And we all know that, like, if you go from your email to writing, you know, your book to trying to have a phone call, your brain is switching too much. So what all it means is I'm going to sit here and create content for my social media platform. Yep. That's the secret.
That is the secret. And I love it because then I'm like, I got a lot done and I can now not think about it for a while. So
totally. That's why in my monthly program, like, I literally, the last Friday of every month, we just sit together and create content.
That's awesome.
Playlist is on, you know, we literally just sit and create content because you need to hold a space for
it. Definitely. Yeah. And I think that's the process too, finding your voice and being okay if it changes along the way like giving yourself permission to, because I think that's some of the fear that I have. Well, what if I say this now and then 3 months from now, I totally don't believe what I just said, right? Like, that's okay. Like, we're human and we change and we evolve and we grow. And
also, I love looking through someone's feed and seeing that they've grown. Like, how boring would it be if a teacher that you want to work with or a coach that you want to work with or a brand that you want to buy is the same now as it was 5 years ago?
Yep.
Well, why haven't they changed? Have they not, like, hello, we went through a pandemic. Did that not affect you at all? You know, so seeing growth, and especially if it's something that you've learned and you're like, oh, wow, that's not something I believe anymore. Going back and amending your post and adjusting it to say, like, see what I thought here? I actually don't think this anymore, but I want you to see that I've grown because I'm different now. So I think that's a beautiful thing to see growth in someone's feed and to see, now I absolutely have to post this image because, like, this ugly, ugly image of what I created that I'm so proud of, you know, of little shameless plug back in 2010, like, that's growth, right? Like, that's, that shows us all that we're changing.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here to do.
Right. And that's why You know, some people say curate your feed and all that, but for me, I like collecting things. So I'm like, I am not going to delete my journey. And I kind of want to go back to that first post, like first 10 posts. And that would be kind of a fun thing to do of like, go back to those initial things where my mindset was and where I'm now, kind of like a,
Okay. I'm going to give you a marketing idea. Okay. I'm going to challenge you. You've got 10 posts, so 10 weeks of content, reshare it into your stories and go live talking about how different you are now.
Yeah.
That's like, how easy is that? Right? Like you don't have to create anything or do anything. You just have to show up and discuss. This was my first post and this is what's now. Like,
yeah,
that's awesome.
I love that. Yeah, I'll have to write that in there. So that's
good. We're going to see a flurry of people being like, oh, I can go back to my first post and reshare it. Yeah. Right. Like super simple, super simple. That's what it should be. It should be about showing up authentically, sharing your purpose and helping people.
Yeah. Yeah. Always keep it simple. So otherwise it's too overwhelming with everything else and then we don't do it.
Yeah. Like I can barely pick a filter.
I haven't even gone down that road. I'm like, no. Oh. So
like, I think I find one I like, and then I'm like, well, maybe I look orange. I don't know. Oh. I'm not this cute in person. Why am I trying?
And that's, I hope that's the trend we're going to. Like if any trend I would get behind, it's like no filter, showing up as you, not as curated, you know. And of course I have pictures on my feed that are, you know, professional or whatever, but I feel like taking off the mask, taking off that glossiness and just show up as we are. Right. Because then that gives permission to other people to do the same. But 100%. When we're striving for this perfection or this glossy magazine feel, then we're not showing up sometimes. And that's where the world misses out.
Absolutely. You shouldn't not show up because you feel like you're not an Instagram model, right? That absolutely, that should never happen. Now, there are days where I have a giant zit on my face and I'm very self-conscious and I would be doing a disservice to my audience to not show up. So I put a filter on, right? Because I'm like, this is the confidence booster. Like if I was meeting you in person, I would have makeup on my face. So it's also totally okay. And it's everybody's journey is your own. The only wrong thing to do is to not share your voice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's good. Yeah. Whatever you need to do. That's good.
Whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Again, we all went through the pandemic. One of the companies I work with, we had a slogan and I hope it's okay to share this, but we said, you know, the world is ending. Don't be a bleep word. Like, just treat people with kindness. Like we're all really sensitive right now, especially as we're coming out of this and we're trying to build community again. And what does that mean to be a person with other people? Like it's hard. It's, it's really difficult for a lot of people right now. It's difficult for me, you know? So treat yourself as kindly as you would treat others.
Right. Yes, definitely. Good words to live by. So, So, thank you so much for all this information and encouragement and just all the goodness that you just shared with us. So if people want to follow you, even though you said your Instagram isn't fully how you want it, but if they want to go look at your thing,
please come follow my Instagram. It's at lauren.litt, L-I-T-T. And you can find me on Twitter at laurenjlitt. If you are a fellow Twitter person, please. I love connecting on Twitter. It's my favorite thing. And you can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn, little shameless plug, L-I-L, shameless plug. So I'm pretty much everywhere.
Okay. Awesome. And thank you so much for sharing that free video series. I'm sure that will be super helpful to everybody that goes in and gets that. So thank you. Thank you.
But my absolute pleasure.
All right. Thanks for chatting. I told you that conversation would be good. I hope you got so much out of it like I did. I have so many notes I took from Lauren with her awesome
insights as to how to play this Instagram game, social media game, whatever that looks like for you. So I really do hope that you found it helpful, and I hope you go connect with her to get more help and support in that arena. I would love to connect with you myself on Instagram. You can find me at A Creative Purpose, where I offer support and encouragement to bring your creative visions to life. If you would like a weekly note from me popped into your email box, you can sign up for that at naomigeidel.com. And I would love it if you would be so kind as to leave a rating and review if you found this to be helpful, as well as share it with a friend, anybody that you think could benefit from this conversation. I would really appreciate you sharing with them. So until next time, continue to go create the beauty that you are bringing to the world.